So on Friday, we had a potluck in my department for St. Patrick's Day. You know, potluck, because it's St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, that's a
Ha
bad pun.
hashtag dad joke. I forgot that I had signed up to bring drinks. So I thought to myself, well, you know, I just go a couple blocks down to this Family Dollar and I can get a couple 2 liters and bring them back on my 15-minute break. And I almost died. From where we work, you have to go downhill to get to the Family Dollar on Market Street. So far, so good. It's a little choppy having to go downhill with this much girth, but I can make it. I get to the Family Dollar, I start to come back, and I didn't realize that it's like a double black diamond slope coming down from our office to Market Street. Somewhere between Cherry and Walnut, I was ready to just kind of lay down on the sidewalk and take a nap.
It was the extra weight of the drinks.
It really was. I think so. I was really questioning whether or not I was going to make it back at all, let alone at the end of my 15-minute break. And I want to shoot out an apology to the young lady who had to ride on the elevator with me. I promise I was just fat, out of shape, and winded. I wasn't like leering at you and you know, that fat, sweaty guy that was breathing heavy. It's just because he was tired from walking uphill. I promise.
Soccer chat with two T's, because we're going to chat about soccer, but we're also in Chattanooga. So it's like a play on words. And, you know, Chattanooga is a soccer city.
All right, welcome to episode 5 of the Soccer Chat. We are super excited to have you here, and we want to once again, as always, thank the beautiful game network that's BGN.FM for having us as part of their network. Once again, we want to advise you go out, take a look at some of the podcasts that are out there. There's some really, really great stuff, especially as the League One season's about to get into full force and championship is already well into the second week. Get a chance to listen to some of those other lower division soccer opportunities that are out there. Some really good stuff.
And don't forget BGN FM written with all sorts of wonderful articles for folks who actually can read.
Another thing I want to mention to you guys, we actually do have a website that is getting ready to be released for public consumption. It's actually already out there for those of you that like to track us down, but it's soccer chat, that's chat with two T's.com. It's going to give you a chance to obviously have a unified place you can go to get your podcast and link to it. We'll have the podcast actually directly on the website with a kind of the Spotify link within there for you to be able to listen right on the site, as well as a few articles that'll be written by myself and Alex. And we'll probably get some guests, people to write as well that are focused on the Red Wolves, League One, and other things going on in the soccer world. So when you get a chance, check out soccerchat.com. All right, so getting right into it, a few things happening in the world of the Red Wolves and League One in general. We just had another preseason game here on Saturday where we hosted Louisville City. Alex, what was your thought about the last preseason official preseason game?
One thing that I am excited about is watching Louisville City on ESPN Plus Friday play against Atlanta United. I am pretty sure that we outdrew Atlanta United too. So I'm proud of the fans for showing out there. Of course, once 3 people walked through the gates, we had pretty much outdrawn Atlanta United too. I had to come late. My son had his own soccer game in the morning. We got there just as the second half was starting. I was really impressed with the second half. I noticed that Tim Hankinson took a long time to start putting substitutes. There were no changes made coming into the second half. So he really was trying to give some of these guys a chance to at what a regular season game would look like. Not making those changes, giving them a good 60, 70 minutes to try to get through on the score sheet. I was really impressed with how hard they worked in that second half. They looked dangerous. They kept possession pretty well. They were mostly down on our end attacking the goal, not too much playing
And
defense.
I was there the whole game, and that was the same way it was in the first half. I mean, they honestly, their goal they got late in the first half was admittedly a really nice footwork goal. They actually did a behind the back kick through one of our defenders' legs to an open player for the goal. I mean, it was a pretty setup, but I'd say it was easily 60 to 65% possession was the Red Wolves in the first half as well.
That's great to see. For those that didn't hear, it was a 1-1 draw. Louisville City scored first in the first half. Chattanooga Red Wolves scored later. I don't remember what minute it was in the second half. About the 87th minute. Very close to get the equalizer. They had lots of other opportunities that just went wide. Some times where they had chances where they couldn't quite get themselves set to take the shot, but they were in really good, dangerous positions.
In the first half, they hit the crossbar once, as well as they had a ball probably 10 yards out that really should have been put in the back of the net, but instead was shot over top of the crossbar. So they had their opportunities for sure.
Shout out to our boy, Patty McCoons, with the Times Free Press. He had a good video that he shared of the free kick Josue Soto put off the crossbar. So I did get a chance to see that. It was a good shot.
Yeah. So overall, I really feel like as the preseason's kind of coming to a close, the team's really starting to come together. We have an interview with Tony Walls here later for you guys to listen to, and he talks a little bit about that as well. So I'm not going to give away too much, but I think it's clear from the beginning of this preseason to now, they've really started to gel as a team.
They're really starting to pick up on cues. They know what kind of service particular guys like. I think they're really starting to get a good chemistry together that they can say to each other, you know, I'm running here, you're going there. Here's how we need to pick up each other.
And I think across the league, the advantage that teams like Richmond have, and granted, Richmond really hasn't kept their whole team. We actually spoke a little bit about this, and I think spoke incorrectly a few podcasts back. They released all their players and gave them the option to go wherever they wanted, and they did keep a number of them. But teams that have players that have been playing together do have a bit of an advantage because all these teams, for the most part, this is the first time these players have been together. Now, the soccer community as a whole, the professional soccer community, especially in America, isn't a huge group. So a lot of these players know each other, play with each other, whether in college or in other USL PDL adventures. But ultimately, these guys are still learning to play with each other. Like, so one of the things as a fan of foreign leagues that you see is when they bring in a guy in the transfer market, especially like the January window for the Premier League, it takes a while for them to start getting into their rhythm. And so the fact that we had a longer preseason, I think, gives them that chance. And that's why I'm really excited just to hear the coach talk about it, to hear the players talk about learning each other a lot better and moving to that next level. I think, you know, come the end of this month when we have the opener in Dallas, even from then to, you know, May, June, you're going to see improvement. And that's one of the great things about this longer season that we're going to see. We're not dealing with an 8-week season. We're dealing with, you know, an 8-month season. So we're going to get to see continued progression. But the 2 months ahead of time, I'm glad it's not just showing up because, as we've discussed before, you know, preseason does matter.
I know a lot of, as we've talked with guys, we had a great opportunity, thanks to Odd Story, to attend a, you know, post-game party. They made it family-friendly so we could bring our kids and hang out with a few of the players. A lot of them are talking about kind of having sore bodies. I think that's part of why they wanted to end preseason matches now. They can start preparing themselves for the next couple of weeks to get themselves in game shape. But it was by design that they knew they needed the time to build that chemistry among the team. Tim Hankinson, another interview we have with Sean McDaniel coming up, he talks about Tim Hankinson and the experience he has building new clubs. He knew that as this team was coming together, people who have never played together in large numbers, there's a few that have been teammates before, he knew that they needed that time to get ready, to get to know each other and to be ready as a team. And that's why I believe the Red Wolves were the first to start training camp in the league.
And I was going to say, some of the other teams were 2-3 weeks later before they started. Right. And so I think we get a chance to see how much of an impact does that make. I think not enough is made about the quality of Coach Hankinson when it comes to that. Some of the other teams have had, you know, they have some younger coaches, newer coaches. And I'm not knocking that. I mean, newer coaches can be great coaches too. But there is something about the fact that this is a guy who's 40 years of experience in coaching multiple teams, starting with the Battery. I think he was the first one to for the Battery that he's built. And it's not like these teams he built didn't do well. They did well when they were built too. Like, he's got this attitude of, we may be new, but it doesn't mean we can't be great. And I love that combo. So, yeah. So another thing that came out, USL this past week announced something that I think's kind of interesting in that they've announced the USL Academy, which is going to be, they're calling it another tier. I don't know if I care for the fact that they're referring to it as another tier, but it's an organizational shift from where instead of it strictly being within the DA of the USSF, they're creating their own kind of academy league, so to speak. Now, they're starting off just with a tournament, but I think the intention is to ultimately have a full academy league.
What you're going to want as these teams are going to compete in the tournament is they're going to need opportunities to play to get ready for that. It's probably going to be regional, obviously. You may see the Atlanta United Academy that feeds Atlanta United 2 playing games against Charlotte's Academy and against Chattanooga Red Wolves Academy and against Birmingham's Academy.
So do you think that's something I wondered about. Like, do you think these USL championship teams that are Atlanta United 2 or they're the Toronto or whoever they are, do you think they're going to have academies that are in the USL Academy, or do you think it'll strictly be part of the MLS Academy? Because they haven't answered that. Now, that's a curiosity to me.
Well, that's a good question. We'll have to wait and see. But even without Atlanta United, who's part of MLS, there's still a lot of...
Yeah, Birmingham.
A lot of USL teams, Memphis, Birmingham. You're going to see plenty of regional games. So I'm with you. I don't know that it's necessarily another rung on the ladder, but it's going to be a good opportunity for these folks to identify groups in the area, kids in the area that are really talented, that have the ability to go from that academy. They may go play in college as well, but they're going to be able to play for the USL League 2 team
while in college
and work their way up.
Well, and then here in the Chattanooga area, the CFCA, which is CFC's academy, but they're in name only. They're, as we talked about before, that they license the right to say Chattanooga FC before their academy. They've chosen to stay with Chattanooga FC for their naming for this year. Who knows how long that agreement is going to continue. I think you're going to see this type of thing is going to create an ability for the Red Bulls to have yet another kind of arrow in the quiver for them to say, hey, not only are we going to build for into Dalton Red Wolves, which is their USL2 affiliate, but they're also going to have that built in with Birmingham, with Nashville, with Greenville, with wherever that has these USL associated academies.
So we're recording this on Sunday. It's going to be released on Tuesday. Soccer Chat releases every Tuesday. Check your podcasts. I'm going to go ahead and break this news that technically will be broken in the meantime, but the Chattanooga Red Wolves are going to be announcing their own academy on Monday.
Okay.
There's not going to be a lot of detail. It's going to be kind of a broad outline of what they're wanting to do and what they're wanting to form. But it's going to be a lot of, I think it's going to mostly be training in residence at this new stadium setup that they're going to have in East Ridge. The training stadium will be a place where they can use. And it's going to pair in very well with the academy in the USL Academy that's been announced. So
that's breaking news, kind of, because it'll already be announced. But
we'll call it broken news, because when this comes out, it'll already be there. Well, but I'm telling you, past Alex is telling you now, I knew this. So when it gets released, credit Alex and Soccer Chat.
Yeah, also, Alex also just broke that for me. I had no idea. And so my initial reaction to that
is... That's just Coke, I promise.
Yeah, that my initial reaction to that is I'm very, very excited. So I have a 5-year-old son who is obsessed with the sport of soccer. I cannot express to you how little I have done other than the fact that we watch Arsenal on a regular basis and that we play FIFA.
So he's used to dealing with disappointment.
Oh, jeez. First off, haven't been disappointed yet this season. Totally threw me off. So the thing with Jonah is he's obsessed with the sport. And when I look at the fractioning that I'm seeing within the Chattanooga area when it comes to academy stuff, it worries me because I had to figure out which way is the best for him. Like, what do I do to make sure my son, who loves this, gets a good experience? Whether that means he gets to one day go down the road and play in high school and college and that stuff, who knows? He's 5. He may, by the time he's 8, may hate it. Right. But if he still continues to love it, where do we go? And so knowing that yet another avenue is going to be there, that's going to be well supported, because I doubt seriously that CFC is going to stop supporting their academy. In fact, they finally pretty much announced, hey, we're going to really put our money where our mouth is and start supporting them. Well, if the Red Wolves do the same, that's only good. That in my mind, they're not competing against each other. They may be competing for the same players, but if their way they're competing for the players is by creating more fields for them to play on, building more turf facilities when it's raining all the time, really putting investment into those teams, I'm all for that.
To me, also, it comes down to investment in coaching. One of the things that I think is going to be an awesome advantage for the Red Wolves Academy is having Tim Hankinson as the technical director of the club, working with everything below. He's got experience running youth soccer organizations in Colorado after his time with the Rapids. So he even knows how to go all the way down to that lower level, how to instruct these coaches so that they are giving kids the best instruction possible and putting them in the best position to continue to advance the soccer career that they want.
Yeah, that's absolutely excellent. So that's the type of news that, as a soccer fan in Chattanooga, no matter what your views are on the Red Bulls coming in as a competing USL team to CFC, you can't look at that negatively unless you're choosing to. The only way that you can look at having an experienced coach with the experience of building out strong academies, with MLS experience, with the fact that he's opened up his doors for the coaches to come and talk with him and get advice from him at the headquarters, those are all things that the only way you can look at them negatively is if you're choosing to put a negative spin on it, because it's all positive. One of the things that is done locally here is there's some scholarships that are given by the Chattahooligans, who's the supporters of the CFC, for that training. I looked into some of that coaching training. It's not for someone who doesn't have a lot of extra spending. You can spend hundreds of dollars to do that, and then you have to travel places. So if having a USL academy that's a sanctioned academy means we get to have some more local coaching clinics that are officially sanctioned to get those level D and level C licenses for some of our rec leagues, that's also a bonus. And I got to imagine when you build out the great training facility they're building in Dalton, that stuff's going to come.
And it goes down to the local rec that I run. They're investing in us too, not so much with money, but definitely with time. Players coming out to work with our kids and inspire them, having a chance for our coaches to go learn from Tim. It's not going to end up with a USSF D license or, you know, a lower level license or anything like that. But it's going to be good stuff that we can take back to a rec league with a 5-year-old and give him a good head start, that they can start to identify that talent and pull it into the academy where they can start to sharpen themselves against greater competition.
And you talk about that excitement. So my son, like I said, is involved in rec level soccer because he is 5 years old. So it's not like he's in some fancy academy that we're spending tons of money on. We don't have that kind of money, and that's just not...
Do you have your deal with Nike yet?
Of course, yeah. I mean, that's a given. Just because we want our shoes to explode like they did on Zion for Duke. No, but one of the things I was going to say is the players came to the practice that we were having, and there's this kid that's on Jonah's team that legitimately, up until that point, I swear he could have been playing any sport, and it wouldn't have mattered to him. Like, if he had just suddenly was playing football, he'd be like, oh, I'm playing football. Well, they mentioned to him that, hey, we're going to have a night where you guys get to come out to the game. He like takes both fists and does that like excited, like he just won like the World Cup excitement. And it's like, yes! Like, and it totally changed his whole viewpoint. From that point forward, that kid was engaged and was trying to figure out how to play because this guy who he found out was a professional wanted him at a game. And that type of stuff matters. And it's really good to see them putting time into the community. It doesn't have to be, like you said, where they're teaching the coaches these extreme and getting them all these. Sometimes it is just you spent 30 minutes with these kids and that made them have a desire to come see them and come be a part of it and to learn more.
Spending the last 4.5 to 5 years around youth sports, the biggest education thing that so many of these coaches, volunteer coaches, parent volunteers need is how to manage expectations. There's just so many times I see coaches who are frustrated that a kid at a particular age doesn't have the level of understanding of basketball that you would really expect from a high schooler. And it's like, well, of course he doesn't. He's 7. Chill out, bro.
All right. So once again, we're breaking news that's been broken prior to it being broken because we're recording on Sunday. It's breaking on Monday. You're getting this on Tuesday. Just take it as new breaking news.
Credit Alex and Soccer Chat.
Yeah. Red Bulls Academy is a thing and it's coming very, very soon.
It's real about it. And it's spectacular.
yet another wonderful Seinfeld reference. Turning our attention to some of the things we have coming up, we're going to break this into basically two parts. You guys have gotten a chance to listen to us talk a little about local Red Bulls things as well as the League One Academy announcements and such. The next section when we come back is going to be a set of interviews that we had. One was a post-game interview that Alex had a chance to do with Sean McDaniel, who is the general manager and president for the team, as well as we'll have a more long-form interview that we have with Tony Walls. We kind of go all over the place with that interview with Tony Walls, and I really think you guys will enjoy it. It's a chance for you to hear kind of just him in a just a normal atmosphere. It's not a spitting question. It's just a relaxed kind of talk about some basketball, talk about soccer, and kind of go all over the place, which is really great.
So any of Tony's teammates that might be jealous that he got to come on for the first long-form interview, just talk to Terry. Let her know you want to be on Soccer Chat, and we'll work on getting you guys on throughout the season. We know that you guys love interacting with the fans and talking with people, so we want to be able to be that platform for you. Talk to Terry. Hashtag Terry, listen to the whole thing.
Here's those interviews for you guys when we come back from the break. All right, so the first interview we've got here that I'm going to set up for you is with Sean McDaniel. Sean was gracious enough to give Alex some time after the Louisville City scrimmage that was held on Saturday. Can you tell us a little bit about what to expect here, or just want to jump right in?
It's just a good conversation about starting the team, what he's gone through, what he's enjoyed about the process, what he's looking forward to. So get some general thoughts on the preseason. It's a really good interview, and I appreciate Sean taking the time to talk with us. We are here post-match sitting with Sean McDaniel, general manager of the Chattanooga Red Wolves. Thanks for joining us today, Sean.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for coming out.
So how do you feel the match went today against Louisville City?
You know, I think what's encouraging is this is the second USL Championship team we've played in the preseason. And in both instances, I think we showed very, very well. You know, when you can play the two-time defending champion at home, I think it's a big mark and test to see where we are. And to go into the regular season having played Louisville City to a 1-1 draw is very encouraging.
Looking back on everything that's happened in preseason camp, what are successes that you've seen from this?
So there's a couple things. One, we're healthy. I like that our guys are healthy. We see them getting fit, continuing getting fit. We're playing good soccer. You know, we're finally at a point where we can start to get guys in the right spots. And, you know, when we sign them, we really don't know how they're going to fit on the pitch with each other. And each day it looks just a little better. They start to know where they're going to be. They start to understand, you know, where the ball's going to be, where they want them. And so I think being a month into preseason and
sure.
and seeing that, it's very, very, again.
We had big news with USL this week announcing the USLA Academy system. How excited are you about that announcement, and how do you think that's going to look going forward in Chattanooga?
So I think there's a couple things to that. One, it's what we anticipated and expected from the USL. You know, the path to pro starts with the young player, and being able to offer that through the USL and the USL family of soccer platforms makes perfect sense. And for us, you know, we'll be announcing our academy, and it's coming, and it will fit right into that USL narrative. And being able to offer not just a platform to professional soccer, but collegiate soccer, a high level of soccer for, you know, young men and young women to play under the Red Wolves banner in the USL is exactly what we had hoped it would be.
Off of that, what are areas that you see for growth in soccer in the Chattanooga area?
Well, I think, you know, with so many kids playing, the recreational programs are important. And being able to be aligned with Ridgeland, to be aligned with Readout, Eastridge, Cleveland, I think being able to partner with the rec associations allows for soccer to be had at every level. Just because you might not have the ability to play professional soccer doesn't mean you shouldn't have the ability to play. So being able to align ourselves broadly with the masses, I think, is important to the growth.
So when the Chattanooga Red Wolves were first announced, you were given an interview, and you mentioned that you felt Chattanooga was ready for pro soccer. What about this time
going back with the history that you have, 20 plus years in soccer, going back to the Chattanooga Express, what makes you think that now is that time for Chattanooga to have pro soccer?
Well, I think like anything, as the visionaries for the city laid the groundwork for economic development and growth, professional sports just falls right in line with that. And, you know, when Bob Martino looked at Chattanooga as where he wanted to put the team, it went beyond just a great fan base. It went into to land. It went into being able to truly develop infrastructure when it comes to buildings and stadiums. And I don't think we were prepared to do that even a decade ago. But now just look around. The landscape of the city's changed, and changed in such a way that someone can come in here and invest capital, both financially and with people, to build something really incredible for Chattanooga.
Part of building the team involved finding a veteran coach in Tim Hankinson. What was the process of searching for coaches, and why did you eventually land on Hankinson?
You know, the great part about that is when we announced the Red Wolves, Tim actually contacted me, and he was our candidate from the beginning. We interviewed a lot of great people, but there was really never any doubt that Tim was going to be the right person for it, not just because he can coach soccer, but because his experience to find the professional athlete, his network of players and agents and coaches, is what helped launch this so well.
That's really put together a very deep team. It's exciting. Going for the first game, what are you looking forward to?
Well, you know, the interesting thing will be that all the teams are starting from scratch. So there's really no history that we can build off of quite yet. Nobody's played a game yet, really. And so, you know, for us, our expectation is to put together a good squad, to put together a roster, not just of good soccer players, but of good players in the locker room, and build a culture. And the culture of what's built Chattanooga is what we want with the first team here. But our expectation's high. We want to win the cup. It's why we put the team together we have. We want to win the USL League One championship.
Making the announcement for Chattanooga Red Wolves coming to the city, there's been some controversy with it, but what's been your favorite part of the process since it started?
Well, how quickly that we've been embraced by the entire city of Chattanooga. You know, sports brings out passion, and so the fact that passion is so high for this sport in the scenic city is something that I'm probably most excited about. But I love that the players are welcomed. I love that the players are already in the community. They're already in the soccer programs. And the fact that these young men are now here and call Chattanooga their home, and watching them be received as one of their own, is something I expect from Chattanoogans, and they've not let me down at all.
What's a difference that you've seen coming to USL and building this team in the USL League One as opposed to working previously in the NPSL?
Well, probably the speed of play. You know, just from a pure soccer standpoint, the guys we have in our roster are professional soccer players. So this is their job, and they treat it as such. It's 12 months out of the year. It's training. It's fighting for their spot on the team. And when you see guys who this is what they do for a living, and this is what they do to pay the bills, you have to be one of the best. And we see that. We see that in their play. And the structure of the USL is really, really solid. You know, all the things that come into place with getting the proper visa for the players and contracts for the players and the standards that have to be met to be able to pull off a match really are what raise the level of the game in the league in professional soccer.
So I have a friend. He's looking to start a restaurant. He's looking at a couple locations. One is over on South Broad Street. The other is, say, near Montague Park. Do you have any advice on what would probably be the best location for that restaurant?
Well, you know, my feeling on that would be what also makes Chattanooga great is you're less than 15 minutes from everywhere. So whether you reside, play, have recreation in the northern part of the city or the southern part of the city, you're always close by to so many great things.
All right, that was good. I thought I could get one by you, but thank you so much for your time, Sean. It's been great talking to you.
Alex, thank you.
All right, once again, that was Sean McDaniel and Alex Fortney after the Louisville City game. Some really great stuff in there. The next interview we've got up for you guys is with Tony Walls. Like I said, this is a long-form interview. What that basically means is he took time out of his evening to kind of sit down with us and talk all kinds of things. We talk a little bit about the NCAA tournament. The brackets had just released prior to us getting to meet. If you don't know, Tony played one season of NCAA Division I basketball at Wisconsin Green Bay. He also kind of indicates in here that his first love was basketball, not soccer, and that he realized very early on that soccer was something that he could do professionally going forward and that maybe basketball wasn't for him. Honestly, in the U.S., there's a lot, people don't realize this, there's a lot more opportunity for soccer players than there is for basketball. I mean, basketball, it's a 30-team, 12-man bench total. And in soccer, you've got, you know, just within the MLS alone, there's a lot more players playing MLS than there is playing NBA. And that's not even including Championship and League One. So he made the right decision, in my opinion. I think he's great on the field. And so there's some great stuff in here. So here's that without further ado, our interview with Tony Walls. You played college basketball, right?
Yeah, I played 1 year. I mean, I wish I would have played all four, but it was just a lot with school and soccer, you know.
What did it feel like that first year trying to play two sports as a college athlete?
I mean, it was kind of like a dream come true. That's kind of why I went to a smaller school. I had offers from bigger schools for soccer, but basketball was my first sport, and I wanted to play for as long as I could. And, you know, to play at the Division I level is, you know, pretty awesome. So, I mean, no regrets in that department. So
what position did you play in basketball?
Center. No, I'm joking. I was a point guard.
I was like, so just so you know, both, and like in unison, Alex and I looked at each other like, did he shrink?
Well, it was a small school, so it could have been.
No, but we had some good players. We were the same conference as Butler back when Butler was dominant with Gordon Hayward and Brad Stevens was the coach back then. So we lost to them in the conference final or semifinal, yeah. So, but we had a really good team actually, and I would not have been tall enough to play center.
So, would you consider yourself more of a 3-and-D guy, or were you strictly defense? Because I mean, that is kind of your specialty now. So, in soccer.
Yeah, I mean, like growing up, I was better offensively, but as time went on, I kind of devoted more time to soccer in my summers and off season. So. My offense wasn't what it was like growing up. So I think in like two more years, I could have been better offensively, but you know, I was kind of more just the floor general and playmaker and set up, the guys who were better at scoring at the time. So, yeah.
So who would you say was your NBA comp?
My what?
Your NBA comparison.
Oh, I was probably like a Rajon Rondo, Dennis Schroeder,
okay.
Steve Nash kind of guy.
Steve Nash is a good comparison. He's another soccer guy.
Yeah. We actually won a state championship my senior year of high school.
Awesome.
Oh,
in Wisconsin, good old Wisconsin.
So as a Wisconsin kid, who's your college basketball team? Like, who do you follow?
So I'm always going to support Wisconsin and Green Bay. We actually have a guy who's playing for the Warriors right now, Alfonso McKinney, you know, but throughout the years, you know, the Badgers have been the dominant program in Wisconsin. Marquette's making resurgence this year, you know, so it's good to see them back to what they were. You know, I haven't seen them, you know, be this good since Dwayne Wade, Travis Dean, or Steve Novak years. So it's pretty cool to see. There's actually a lot of good teams in that region.
It's good to hear that the teams you're bringing up are actually like teams that you grew up around. Like you're not pulling the classic like, oh, I'm a huge Duke fan. I grew up kind of all over the country, but Southern California is where I started falling in love with sports basically. And so my options when it comes to sports was UCLA and USC for college sports. I just couldn't bring myself to be a UCLA fan because every one of those fans that I ever met was just kind of a jerk. So instead, I went with the team that likes to cheat as often as possible. So I'm a USC fan. But we rarely are doing well in basketball unless we've been paying our athletes properly.
I mean, you guys produced James Harden, probably one of the best players today.
No, right? Harden wasn't a USC guy.
He was at Arizona State.
Yeah. That's
right.
Our claim to fame when it comes to basketball is really not much claim to fame.
But football, you guys are.
OJ Mayo?
OJ Mayo is probably the last decent product to come out of USC.
He had a stint with the Bucks as well, I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Yeah, I think he had a stint with everyone. Like, for a while there, he, like, just worked his way around the league, which, I'm going to be honest with you, cannot blame him. Like, I think the two best jobs in sports, if you're not good enough to actually be a star, is 12th man on an NBA team and third-string quarterback. Third-string quarterback, the worst-case scenario is you're going to have to go hold the ball if the punter got hurt for the kicker. That's about all you're getting in on that.
Well, yeah, what about, like, backup punter or, like, backup kicker? Or third string kicker.
So for college, yeah, that's gold for that. But I don't think they carry that like NFL wise.
I don't know. I've always thought that like a middle reliever for a baseball team, you pitch maybe once a week, and the rest of the time you just get to sit in the outfield with some sunflower seeds and watch baseball.
And you're getting to come in only when the game is out of hand already. So even if you give up three runs, no one cares. Yeah.
Right.
So to say the least, if you can't tell, we're more sports fans than just anything. And that's kind of why we wanted you on this week, so we could talk a little bit about college basketball. So one of the things that we noticed when we were looking at these brackets is that ACC got three number one seeds.
Yeah.
As a Big Ten guy, are you offended?
Nah.
Or I should say as a mid-major guy, because you were with the Horizon League.
Yeah, that's true. I think the Big Ten has had a really good season as well. But when you start to talk about number one seeds in the tournament, they have to have, you know, pretty good resumes. I think the Big Ten teams beat up on each other so much, it's like, you know, they diminish each other's records, I'm pretty sure, you know. But, you know, Duke, I've never seen a team this dynamic as this Duke team. You know, like, Cam Reddish is one of the top recruits in the country and nobody even talks about him, you know, because that's how good they are. And then,
well, when you're playing with Zion, the chances of getting talked about, I mean, you can't discount his impact. I mean, you break a shoe and your team goes from everyone saying a lot for number one to saying if he doesn't come back, they could be a three or four seed.
Right. I mean, but in the Big Ten, you talk about Indiana. They didn't make the tournament, but, you know, they beat Michigan State twice. I'm pretty sure they beat a couple other really good teams. They might have beat Wisconsin as well, you know, but their record just wasn't good enough, you know, because the conference was tough.
Right.
And your Wisconsin Badgers is going to be going head to head with Alex's Oregon team. I'm assuming that's not going to be your pick for the 5-12 upset. I'm assuming you're expecting Wisconsin to get past them. I would be intrigued to see if Alex has Oregon beating them, though.
No, Alex does not have Oregon beating anyone.
Yeah, I haven't. Isn't that the team with the kid Bol Bol that got hurt?
Yeah, so they to me, they were not even that impressive of a team when they had Bol Bol, and then he got injured and sat out the rest of the season. So the Pac-12 has really just been kind of an afterthought, and that's rightly deserved that everyone doesn't think about the Pac-12 this year.
Right.
Well, that's kind of,
They didn't win their tournament, did they?
Oregon did, and I think if they hadn't won the tournament, they wouldn't be in the field.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, who knows? You know, that's the beauty of it. You know, anyone, it's however many minutes, one game, you know, anyone can beat anyone. So, and maybe they're hot right now. Maybe they're playing their best ball right now. So, and Wisconsin struggles to score.
True.
Wisconsin struggles to score. So, you know, if they shut down Ethan Happ and shots aren't falling, you know, who knows? The Badgers are liable to put up 10 points and a half. So, I've seen it done before.
So, Tony, do you guys do any sort of, like, within the team, do you guys do any sort of bracket challenge?
I mean, it's the first year, but I think that's a good idea. I think we should. You know, we have a lot of foreign guys that probably don't watch a lick of basketball, but, you know, it's always fun.
Every bracket thing I've ever done at, like, work, it's always won by, like, somebody who's like, oh, I don't really watch it, but I'll pick it based off the colors of their uniforms, and then they end up winning the whole thing.
So. Yeah. Seriously.
I wouldn't mind seeing a few of the foreign players that are like, I don't know, I've watched some of the, so I'm a huge Arsenal fan, and Arsenal TV does these interviews with the players with like random things. And the most recent one was like a thing about American football that they posted, and they were supposed to like, they gave them terms that were in American football and they were supposed to explain what they were. It's classically funny just to watch. And so I would love to like have those type of interviews with some of our players on the Red Wolves just to see what they think about the various sports. Now, basketball is at least a little bit bigger in Europe than obviously American football, but even then, I think there's a good chance that these guys have no idea.
Yeah, I think that'd be pretty funny.
So Stephen Beattie is from Ireland, but his he played college ball at Northern Kentucky, which actually is in the tournament. Has he been all of a sudden watching basketball?
Actually, I think I have seen a couple of Instagram stories where he's watching Northern Kentucky. And I actually saw the game. I forget. I think his last name might be McDonald, the big guy who hit a buzzer beater in the semifinal. I mean, they were about to lose, and this guy hits a buzzer beater out of nowhere, and I'm sitting in my apartment by myself, and I just start screaming. Like, it's pretty good. It's that time of year.
All right, so switching up a little bit, going to ask you some things about upcoming season. When you guys as a team take a look at the season, take a look at Open Cup, during the Open Cup part, are you putting a focus on that, do you think, or are you more focused on winning the league?
I think it's just, for me, it's one game at a time, you know, like, obviously, we have goals. We want to win the league, and it's inaugural year. But I think we have a lot of guys who are quality players and have aspirations of playing at higher levels, and that's an opportunity to show themselves. And, you know, I've been on USL teams where we beat MLS teams. Rochester, we beat DC United. We went to PKs with Philadelphia Union. So, you know, same thing as March Madness in basketball. I think in 90 minutes, if you know, a team is, they believe in themselves and they have a game plan, anything can happen. So I think we want to obviously make noise in the Open Cup, but you know, when it comes to league play, we're pretty adamant on winning the whole thing as well. So finding that balance.
Let me follow up on that. So you've played on obviously a number of USL championship teams. The quality that you see on this team versus the quality on those teams in the past, how would you compare those?
I think both teams, USL and this team, have experienced veteran players who are quality, and then, you know, young, hungry kids who are also quality and contribute to the team as well. So, you know, I think the talent level is not too different. I think there's going to be a lot of new clubs in this league who are still ironing things out and figuring it out. But in terms of football talent, it's not too different.
You guys have, it's a brand new league. You've got a lot of new teams that are joining. None of the preseason games have been televised or anything like that. How much do you guys know or follow signings with the other clubs in League One?
You know, we're looking. That's the beauty of social media. We can kind of keep up with that stuff, even if we don't necessarily want to or you know, aren't going out of our way to do that. But the soccer world is small. So, I mean, in the scrimmage yesterday against Louisville, there was probably 7 or 8 guys that I've played PDL or professional with. You know, and the teams in League One aren't too much different. We have Richmond, Tormenta, Greenville, Lansing, Madison all have guys that I know and I've played with, and I'm pretty sure it's the same for other guys on my team. You know, but we want to know. Obviously, we're interested to see what the level might be like as a collective league. And I think that's determined by the personnel. You know, so we're definitely, you know, keeping tabs on that.
As you guys are coming to the end of the preseason, how do you feel that you have grown as a team?
We actually talked about that today in our team meeting, from the first scrimmage in Birmingham to yesterday. You know, it takes a little time to figure out what guys that you're playing with, what their tendencies are, what makes them tick, what they can do in certain scenarios. And I think we're starting to figure each other out. And, you know, as much as some guys might have hated the 2 month, you know, MLS long preseason, I think it'll pay off for us. And we saw yesterday, you know, obviously it wasn't Louisville's first team, but they still had a lot of good footballers that played. And I think we showed our quality, and when we play with that energy and intensity, I think we're as good as, you know, probably 65-75% of teams in the USL Championship. So, you know, that's exciting.
When you look at the team, who's the guy you're going, this is the fastest guy on the team?
The fastest?
Yeah, like, is there a guy that, like, so when I'm watching the game, just to be honest with you, none of you guys seem like there's this, like, speedster
right.
that, like, some teams will have. Like, you'll have that guy that you can just throw the ball over the top and he'll just track it down type thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is there someone I'm missing that you think to yourself, nah, he's got the speed, you're just missing it?
You know, were you at all of the preseason games? There was a guy that was on trial. His name was Faudi, African-American guy up top. I don't know if we're going to sign him or not, but he's probably easily the fastest guy on our team if he does sign.
Was he wearing number 4?
I mean, he looked like Lukaku from Manchester United.
Okay, yeah.
You can't miss him, you know, and he's just a beast. So I think if he signed to our team, I think he would provide that, you know, over the top speed that, you know, a lot of quality teams have. But other than that, we have a lot of guys who are pretty good athletes and quick over 20, 25 yards. But yeah, we don't have any Usain Bolts. I don't.
it looks a lot like, so I'm thinking like with Zaid, he reminds me a lot of like an Olivier Giroud type.
Yeah.
Player where you get it up to him for him to be set to turn it left or right. He's got both feet,
right,
and kind of take his man out. But he's definitely not going to win any battles for a ball over the top. So I was just curious if there was somebody that I'm not seeing that you can bring as this kind of that, you know, mix up guy that comes in and takes over with totally changing the setup.
Right. I mean, we had a couple guys on trial, but I'm not sure. The guy we saw, I think we're going to sign Jamie. He's pretty fast, a winger. But other than that, yeah, we had some guys on trial that were, you know, very quick. I just don't know if it worked out.
Well, what about Richard Dixon?
Oh, yeah. Actually, yeah, I take that back. Dixon's probably our quote-unquote speedster. I don't know how I forgot about him, but yeah. sorry about that. He's Jamaican, so it's fitting.
he's your Usain Bolt. Yeah.
He is actually.
So what's Richard Dixon's NBA comparison?
NBA. Ooh. When you talk about sheer speed, I would say Westbrook, you know, because he plays with that same intensity. And like going forward, Westbrook, he's got one speed 100%. And once Dixon has that space, he's. 100%. So
if you could just get him to be as mad at everyone as Westbrook is, that would be pretty awesome to see.
Yeah, I don't know what.
Westbrook has had that anger since he was at UCLA. I think it's because he wasn't recruited by USC. That's my view.
I think that's the same anger that makes him special, though. So, you know, yeah, Dixon's a little
more composed,
so that's good.
I would agree with that is what makes him special, because he plays with a chip on his shoulder. It's similar to Harden. Harden plays with a chip on his shoulder, too. It's like, you know, Harden even more so, because he was the third wheel that was basically thrown away.
Yeah.
And I still hold the Oklahoma City made a major mistake back then, because they could have easily won a championship with those three. But
yeah, like there's memes on Twitter that show like kids growing up will never believe this photo was actually like true. And it's like Westbrook, Durant and Harden all on the same team.
Oh.
So back to soccer.
Back to soccer.
Your previous career, most of the teams you've been to, they've been established. How is it different coming to a brand new club versus coming to a team that's already been established?
That's a good question. Here it's like we have everything to play for, you know. Obviously there's a team next door, but you know, we're playing for the fans' respect, and you know, we have the opportunity to set the tone for the history of the club, which, you know, whichever direction that may take them, and it feels like it's going upward. So we have the opportunity to, you know, win hardware from the beginning, which is, you know, pretty special. And I think that's something that will motivate a lot of teams in our league. As opposed to a team like Rochester, you know, where I started my USL career, you know, they had Open Cup championships, you know, they beat MLS clubs, and
right,
you know, they had a history of winning championships. So in that sense, we used it as motivation to bring that back to the fans. And now we have an opportunity to establish that from the beginning, you know, and you know, as an athlete, you want to look for things that, you know, can motivate you outside of yourself sometimes. And I think, you know, either way you look at it, whether it's Rochester and, you know, bringing that those championships back to the fans or, you know, bringing championships from the beginning, you know, I think that's motivational, you know, and if it doesn't motivate you, then you're probably not in the right field.
I completely agree with that. I got a follow-up question that kind of goes with both of what you're talking about here. So you slightly mentioned the team next door, which at CFC, for those of you that don't know, Chattanooga FC is the team I would refer to as the team next door. How do you, as players, do you guys talk about the fact that that exists within the kind of Chattanooga world? And then how, what do you think, if you had an opportunity to talk directly to CFC fans, you would say they should think about this team?
I don't, you know, when I first got here, I had no idea that there's like beef going on or whatever, but, you know, I would just tell them that me personally, I like, you know, if they want to play and just sort it out, I think that would be the best way to do it. But I don't think that's going to happen. So I would just say, you know, we're professional. I don't know why they aren't, but that's just what it is, you know. And if they want to sort it out for bragging rights, then let's do it. That's pretty much what I would say.
So do players at all look at, so they've got this new league, and maybe you guys don't know about it, but they got a new league that they're starting up. They're calling MPSL Pro or whatever they're going to call it. It's going to start in 2020. Do you guys talk about these new leagues, like the NISA League and this at all, or does that not come up for you guys?
I mean, you know, as professional athletes, you know, and then that's, you know, in our line of work, you know, I think naturally we do talk about it. I'm aware of it. There's a team in Milwaukee, actually, that I think is going to play in that league.
Yeah.
You know, but for me, it's like, right now it's not relevant. You know, we're in the USL League One, and you know, whatever they're going to set up, that's cool. We'll see, you know, how it is when it happens, if it actually happens. And that's pretty much it.
So I think that's kind of what I thought you guys would say. Basically, your view is more opportunities to play professionally, the better, right?
Pretty much. Yeah.
I mean, you guys,
I'm not going to complain about it, you know, and it's, I don't know if it's a smart decision considering all the leagues and, you know, how much USL has grown. I think those teams would be better off just trying to get in League One and work their way up, in my opinion. But, you know, how many leagues do you want to have in the country? It's my question.
So I've got one last follow-up. I'm just curious what it's like playing in a converted baseball stadium.
Some of them can be dodgy, like Louisville. I would say 70% of the field is like nice grass, and then where the infield is for the baseball field, it's like turf. So like,
right,
a lot of guys slip, and like some of, like inside the six in the box is like all turf. So, you know, I've seen a lot of guys slip at inopportune times, and a lot of weird stuff happen because of the surface. But you know, at the end of the day, it is what it is. So,
I've always heard soccer players have a preference of playing on natural grass. You're playing on a turf field at home all year this year at CCS. They haven't announced whether or not the soccer-specific stadium is going to be turf that they're going to have in 2020 if you're still here at that point. Do you have a preference? Like, do you prefer grass? Does it matter? Obviously, you don't want to play on both at the same time. That seems weird. But do you have a preference between one or the other?
Yeah, I think they said the field was going to be turf, right?
On the soccer-specific stadium?
Yeah, the new stadium.
That's the, we haven't heard that.
Oh, yeah, okay. So if that's the case, that's just them telling you guys. And we're going to act like you were telling, like we're breaking news if we mention that.
Right.
Yeah,
that's our headline. Tony Walls tells us about the new stadium.
Yeah, I thought I saw that on Twitter. But, I mean, I think, you know, probably majority of players will say grass. Just, I think the turf is pretty, it gets hard on your joints. You know, your knees, your ankles, and when you talk about longevity of your career, I think if you're consistently playing on turf, which I have been, I think it takes years off of your career, if I'm being honest. But, you know, you adjust, and if it's a little bumpy or whatever the case may be, use it to your advantage because you practice on it every day. So, you know, you just work with what you got pretty much.
Okay, I've got one final question. It's one that my son wanted to ask you as I told him I was going to get to talk to Tony Walls today. So he wanted to know, do you miss playing soccer at home?
Like in Milwaukee?
Like your hometown, yeah.
Yeah. It depends on the season. but it was pretty cool when I played indoor there. I played there for 3 seasons. You know, obviously your friends and family have access to come watch you play whenever. And I'm, you know, pretty hopeful that they get a team and, you know, an outdoor team pretty soon in the USL. I think that would be pretty cool. I think the fan base in Milwaukee, there's a pretty good soccer community similar to Chattanooga or Cincinnati in that respect. So I think, you know, it's just a matter of somebody coming in and doing it properly and doing it right and making a good experience for the fans. And I think it'll grow pretty quickly, to be honest. So, yes, I do miss playing in my hometown.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time, Tony. We really appreciate you talking with us today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Well, once again, we got an opportunity to listen to some great interviews. We would be remiss if we didn't once again thank Sean and Tony for their time. But before we end this episode, I think it's important that we give the listeners what they really want, which is a little chance to listen to what's going on inside the mind of Alex. So it's time. Gather all the children around the aluminum pole. It's Alex's airing of grievances.
I got a lot of problems with you people.
So there was an announcement this week of a friendly between our neighbors, Chattanooga FC, and La Liga, air quotes, Giants, Real Betis. Now, I don't want to knock them too much. It is a really big thing getting a team from Europe. Real Betis, though they're currently sitting eighth in the league, did qualify for Europa League last year. So they're a team that is usually around the mid top of the table. They've gone through relegation recently, but not too recently. It's about 4 years ago. They were relegated. They came right back up into La Liga. So it's a big deal having a European team come to Chattanooga. But I'm kind of curious what Real Betis thinks they're going to get out of it. They're going to be playing
they're
a game.
Money out of it. That's what they're getting.
Okay, so they're getting money and they all get to come to America, which is awesome, of course. Go America. But I'm just, you know, a lot of folks are excited about it, but I don't really see how it's going to be a good game. Here's what you're going to have. It's either going to be Real Betis starts their best players and they have to win in a runaway. Otherwise, you start to wonder, was this really such a great team that we brought over from Spain to play in this friendly? Or if it ends up being some kind of, they're just going through the motions, they're not scoring very quickly, they end up winning 1-0. Here again, everyone's walking out saying, well, okay, who were these guys really as wonderful as it is? It feels to me a lot like we're all excited over the headline of La Liga team is coming to the city to play. And it's a thing that I had a back and forth with our friend Jason W. Home Sweet Soccer on Twitter with the USL League One Fun Show. There's so much that happens that it feels like America just wants the aesthetic. They want the headline. I can't stand how MLS every summer lets themselves get cucked by whatever Europe giant wants to come over and make a few money and sell some jerseys and beat up on their all-star team every year.
Yeah.
They can just say, oh, wow, it's so amazing. Juventus is going to come over and beat the crud out of our 22 best players. Isn't our league awesome? I don't understand that. And there is a place for really passionate fans. If you go back to our introduction to this podcast, we both talk about seeing that passion. You went to Covenant College and you got to watch live soccer with a bunch of fans in the crowd at that stadium who were really passionate and, you know, into the game and engaged the whole time. I fell in love with soccer during that 94 World Cup in America, watching all of the people beating the drums and waving the flags and doing all the stuff in the stadium that had traveled from all over the world. There's a place for that. But you know what? There are also lots of dads of girls or dads of a boy whose wife won't let their child play football. And so that child plays soccer and they have to go to the game. And they don't give a crap who Real Betis is if it's not entertaining soccer on the field. Yeah. If it's a 7-0 rout or it's a 1-0 snoozer because everyone's just going through the motions, they're going to walk out and they're going to say, this soccer's stupid. Why am I having to do this?
Yeah, I think there'd be a lot more value in if you're wanting to see what it's like. Like everyone's talking about like, the chance to see a La Liga team. You're not going to see a La Liga team. Like you're going to either see a La Liga team playing against a bunch of scrubs, because let's be honest, that's going to be a bunch of scrubs comparatively to La Liga.
To be honest, there would be a huge gap if Real Betis was coming to play Chattanooga Red Wolves.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, you're wrong. You're not wrong about that. But my issue is not even around that. My issue with this whole thing is,
this is an attack warning. Repeat, this is an attack warning.
CFC gave a BS answer as to why they avoided the Open Cup, and it was because of scheduling conflicts or too much crap on their schedule. Yet they've managed to schedule two friendlies around the same time frame as to when the Open Cup games would have been that are versus teams that should run them out of the stadium. How is that good? Like, if I'm a CFC fan that's diehard, I only care about CFC, I'm not going to go to any Red Bulls games, why do I want to go watch my team get its butt kicked by La Liga when I had a chance to go watch them, in theory, kick the butt out of the team that I supposedly think is terrible in the Red Wolves? Like, that should have been the dream I wanted. I should have wanted them in the Open Cup with a chance to play the Red Wolves. I should have wanted them in the Open Cup playing whoever beat the Red Wolves, in theory. Like, isn't that what they should have wanted? Not playing some La Liga team or playing some Guatemalan powerhouse? Like,
currently fifth in the Guatemalan Liga Nacional.
Yeah, I don't know. My issue with this isn't bringing them in. It's bringing them in instead of being part of the actual stuff you qualified for here in the U.S. You backed out of something that you have been involved in for 9 years because you couldn't handle the schedule, which is BS when your new schedule doesn't even start till August. Just be honest and say, guess what? We don't care about the Open Cup. We don't really care about our fans because we know we would get destroyed by them. We'd much rather get destroyed by a La Liga team and get 20,000 seats in the stands the same night that the Red Bulls have 2,000 in theirs and talk about how much more people care about the CFC. Not even recognizing the fact that your biggest games were always playoff games or were always when some other big team like the Cosmos were coming to town and it was a big name thing coming in. That's my issue with it.
To me, it goes back to all over America, people who are they want the drum sections, they want to microwave all of this soccer culture that built up in Europe over 100 years.
Yeah.
They want to microwave it and they want that. And they don't want anybody who doesn't want to be a part of that to join the league, to come watch soccer. It doesn't feel like they really want to grow the game.
All right. Well, that brings us to the end of the soccer chat. I hope you guys enjoyed it. There wasn't a lot by us because we had some really great stuff with both Sean and with Tony. Once again, I want to thank both of them for giving their time. They in no way are required to give that to us. We are in no way associated directly with the Red Wolves. So the fact that the Red Wolves have continually given us that access, we cannot be more thankful for. We want to once again thank them for their willingness to be open and to jump on a podcast that's literally 2 months old. To give us a chance to talk to them. We really do appreciate it.
We want to thank our friends, the Alphas, for listening and anyone else out there that's listening to the podcast too. We really appreciate you guys.
And that, guys, will be the end of it. Till next week.
I I'm blown away when I look at our little stats on our podcast app about the plays that we're getting, people that are listening, knowing that it's not just my mom and my wife.
Yeah.
And not even my wife all the time.
Yeah. By the way, my wife has so far listened to one. She keeps saying, oh, I keep trying to find time. Okay. Understood. Enjoy. Have a great night or day or whatever it is. We're out.
It's a podcast. It can be all of them.
Boom.